The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Today is day what? Day 19, you know, in this journey. And God has been faithful. And I know you've been getting tremendously blessed. Right? Amen. So let's see what we can do today. So I'll be... We've done how many chapters now? We've looked for God's house. That's chapter 1. Then, we've done the purity of God's house. That's the second. Then angels in the house of God. Then the glory of this latter house. So opening up something else today. Still on our topic, oikos. Are you ready? This is going to bless us. Amen. You know, when I was, you know, if you had paid attention to my introduction from day 1 and day 2 of this meeting, there were a couple of things I mentioned that I said we will come back to it later. And as we begin to wind down, this is the time to begin to come back to those things and begin to bring proper clarity to them. We are teaching on oikos. Oikos is the Greek word that means household. So we're teaching on the house of God. And with the central focus of the central message of this whole teaching is to show that the believer in Christ houses God. God lives in the believer. So God doesn't live in a thing or in a place or in a building. The location of God is in the believer. So if you want to see where God is, you want to know where God is, just look for the believer. You locate one believer, you've located God. Amen. And that has been the original intention of God. That Him, God and man, will come into oneness, will come into union. That God will live in man, and man will live in God. Right? That's what God has always wanted. So today, I want to show something that I opened up on earlier. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Or before that, Hebrew 3 verse 6. Let me just look at that scripture again. Hebrew 3 and verse 6. He said, but Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we? Whose house are we? So, how is God living in you? Living in me? And living in more than how many billion people who are born again on earth? And I was trying to answer that from the first day. How is God able to live in you, and live in all of us? Amen. Now, some people are different extremes on this teaching. And I explained it that day. Let me just remind you. Some people say, well, God lives in believers individually only. While some others say, God does not live in us individually. God lives in all of us as the church. This second meaning, this second definition, this second statement now means that as a human being, you don't carry the fullness of God. That it's only when we are all together that we can say we carry the fullness of God. And I explained to you that that is not totally correct. Now, I'm going to show you this. There is a concept of God living in us individually. And when He lives in us individually, He is completing us. We are completing Him. All of Him lives in us. But there's also a concept of God living in us as a church. So let me show you something. 1 Corinthians 3:16. So there are places you check in the Bible. And the Bible, when the Bible says, know ye not that the temple of the Holy Ghost, like this verse now. Know ye not that ye are. That word, know ye not that ye are. That second ye you are seeing in that verse is plural. is the plural you. Not that it's singular you and plural you. You know, right? So in this verse, it's saying, know you know that you, the you there, is not talking about a particular believer. It's talking about the entire Corinthian church. Put up like another translation of this. The New Living Translation. Glory to God. So New Living Translation of that verse. He said, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? So you look at, in this place, it's trying to show that not just one believer, but all of us are the temple of God. Amen. Are you see here? All of us are the temple of God. Glory to God. Now, but then, if you go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, so we see 1 Corinthians 6 is showing that the church together, we are all God's temple. But chapter 6 verse 19 said, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? This one, the you, that is singular. Your body. He's not talking to the church, he's talking to an individual. Are you guys what I'm talking about? Verse chapter 3 is showing that all of us together are the temple of God. Chapter 6 is showing that you particularly, you are the temple of God. So both of them are correct. Just for you to be able to understand what is happening. So God lives in all of us individually, but he also lives in all of us collectively. So the best way I explained it to you, if you remember that day, I drew a tree. Do you remember? You remember that day? I drew a tree for us. I'm here again. So, I don't know if I can. I know I can draw. Just, I like showing myself. Yes. So this is the tree, if you remember. Now, remember Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So this tree, from here now, from the roots to this place, we can call this Christ. The believers, that is you and I, we are now different branches. Now, if you disconnect any of this branch from this tree, it is a useless wood. But you attach it to this tree, it has life. Now, all these branches carry in them the life of this tree in its fullness. All of them. Because all of them are getting their supply from same place. I got what I'm saying. So, this particular branch, which happens to be you, can say, I get everything that belongs to this tree is working in me. And he'll be correct. I got what I'm saying. So, individually, they can say, the life of this tree is working in me. Then collectively, they can also say the same thing. The life of the tree is working in us. I get what I'm saying? So there is a sense in which you, as an individual, you house God. But in the real sense of it, we is so, I show you something that in the real sense of it, God does not have many houses. God actually has one house. So the Bible will not say God has temples. Bible actually says God has one temple. You are the temple of God. So all of us are parts of that temple. Right? Just that we are all connected to one source. So the life of that foundation is flowing to us. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Yeah. So this will help you in so many ways. This is why you cannot say this, because I'm going to begin to talk about the church as the house of God from now, from today. That's why you cannot say, I am a believer. I am, God lives in me. The fullness of God lives in me. I am the church. So I don't need a church. No. I get what I'm saying? Actually, what God has is actually one house. You are just a part. You understand what I'm saying? You're just a part. But this thing I'm saying does not mean that you don't carry the fullness of God. I get what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that God's fullness is not in you. But I'm saying you are a part of a bigger structure. So you cannot say, God's fullness is not in me because I'm just a part. No. 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So when it says now you are the body of Christ, the you there, is it singular or plural? Huh? Plural you. You are the body of Christ, talking about everybody. Members in particular is talking to you directly now. Is it clear to you, everybody? So, it's like one house. It's like one body. But someone is the hand. Now, this hand, my hand, okay, carries... Now, Jesus is the head of the church. Right? I think medical people, I don't know. I think every part of the body is somehow connected to the brain. Am I correct? Please say so that I'll be sure, so that we'll not get into trouble. So it's like, I use that as a good example. Every part of the body is connected somehow to the brain. So that's why Jesus is called the head of the body. We all are different parts. If they disconnect this hand, it's now a useless thing. They won't, so not mine. But as I say, if they disconnect somebody's hand, it's now a useless stuff. But connected to that body, so this hand can actually say, I carry in me the life of Pastor Henry, and it's correct. Do you understand? But this hand was never created to work in isolation. Never. So this hand now is created. So, sir, the important thing is the head. I don't care about other members. Imagine the head and this hand alone. It will be a useless hand. It carries life, but it's useless. It can't get to someplace. It cannot walk. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you cannot say, well, I'm just a believer. The life of God is working in me. You are correct. But we are one body. One body. It is one temple that God has. Go read your Bible. It's one temple. Look at this. You are the body. It didn't say you are the bodies of Christ. Christ does not have bodies. It's one body. You are just a member. So when people downplay or talk down on the place of the local church because of some revelation they think they have, say, I am the church. I am the church. Well, there is a sense in which you are the church. Okay? Because the church, that word church is ecclesia. Ecclesia means people that are called out. So you are called out from darkness into light. In that sense, you can say, I am the church. But you are not the local church. Do you understand? And that's what I want to say. Every Christian that operates in isolation cannot enjoy the fullness of God. The best that God has for him. He can't. Because the best you are, the Bible says, members in particular, that's the best you are. An eye or a leg, that's the best you are. Are we still here? Are you listening to me? Go back to that 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Glory to God. So, now, it says, know you not that the temple of the Holy of God and the Spirit of God dwelt in you. Let me read it with Amplified Classic. He said, do you not discern and understand that you, in parentheses, what does he have? The whole church at Corinth are God's temple, his sanctuary. And God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. Do you see that? So I'm not saying God doesn't live in you individually. I mean, he lives in us individually in a sense, but he actually lives in us collectively too. So you cannot say, my own is just to be done between and do my church at home. I know that God lives in me. I can worship God from my room. That's not God's design. So just like a tree that has many branches, and each branch carries the life of the tree once it's connected to the roots. So God has one house, and we all are a part of that building. Again, you remember that I showed you. That is why in resurrection, Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. Remember I told you this? He's called the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone means he is not the whole building. He is just a major stone. The major stone used to lay the foundation. We all are parts of the building. So in a sense, I can tell you that God is still building a house. I agree what I'm talking about. Now, everybody that gets born again is joined to that house that he's building. Let me show you some scriptures about this. If you can ask something. Acts 4 verse 11. Acts 4 verse 11. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. With, hallelujah, with my King James. See, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So Jesus is called the head of the corner, the major stone, the chief cornerstone, the head of the corner. Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, it says, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So he is that stone that the builders rejected, who has become the head of the corner. So Jesus is not actually the entire building. Just he is the major foundation. Do you understand? With everything I've shown you now, you will now understand 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. It will now become clearer. He said, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. He now said, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. So we all are being built as a spiritual house. Let me see, New Living Translation. Verse 4, he said, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Verse 5, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So we all are different blocks of this big building that God is building. So if you just say it's just one block, that person will not enjoy the best that God has to offer him. Is someone following what I'm talking about at all? So you are just different blocks of a bigger building that God is doing. I know what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just trying to refresh your mind. I've taught this thing very clearly before. I'm just trying to refresh your mind so that it can get clearer. Ephesians 2, verse 19. It says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth in unto an holy temple in the Lord. So all of us fitly put together are growing into a holy temple. Verse 22 said, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I like how the Message Bible renders that very verse from verse 19. Message Bible, are you here? He said, that's plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Watch this. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. Now, what did he say next? God is building a home. Are you following? God is building a home. He is using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. Are you know what I'm saying? We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. So when we talk about the house of God, oikos of God, it's not just you individually. It is all of us that he dwells in. Although individually, when you are standing alone, you can also say God lives in me, and you will not be wrong. Is someone follow up talking about this evening? But in reality, it is one temple that God is building. So it's not like God is building a temple here, building a temple here, building a temple here. So God lives in everybody. That's not the best way to explain it. It's one temple. All of us are parts of that big temple. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets, that's the foundational apostles, being the people that God used to start the work off. That's why they are used as foundation. I get what I'm saying? But he's building something. And we are part of it. So we are God's building. Not just individually, but collectively. Are you following me? So we can say emphatically that the church is the house of God. The church of Jesus Christ is God's home. That's why when you read your Bible, you will notice the word household of faith. Okay, well, I'm coming to that for now. So, the church is the house of God. Now, somebody is going to say to me, if what you're saying is correct, that means platform of grace alone is not the complete house of God. That's actually correct. You know what I'm saying? We are just a part of a bigger thing that God is building. So, if I'm going to use house now, maybe this is not the best way. It's not the best. But if I'm going to use house of God to explain, this is not the best tool. So but let me use it. So this is house. Never now be drawing again in my life. But you guys have made me do this. This is a house. Right? This house was made with blocks. Why guys laughing? It's not fine. So, made with blocks. Now, see what I'm trying to show. It's a big house, for instance. This is not the best, but I'm going to use it. There are different blocks. We all are that. Individually, we are the blocks. We saw that God used to make these stones. Different stones used to make it. I can show denominations and churches as different rooms in that house. You know what I'm talking about now? So, we are not the entire structure. Beach is not the entire structure. Do you understand? What we are just a part, maybe a room, a section in the bigger thing that God is building. So, that's why you will see the word household, this oikos now we are studying, used household of God or household of faith, used to refer to the local church, that is, we gathered here, and also used to refer to the church in general. You see the same thing. For instance, let me show you Ephesians 2 verse 19. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Now, read it with me. Read it with me. Are you there? Let's go together. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And so the household of God spoken about here, is it talking about deeper life within us? Or he's talking about the general body of Christ. So he's saying we are part of that bigger household. Is it clear to all of us? Now, but then, you also see Galatians 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10. It says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Is he talking about general or your particular local church now? He's referring to your local church now. Do you understand? I get what I'm talking about. So, I don't know if, is it confusing? If it is, tell me, I'll say it again. So, we can say that all people that is born again, we are one body of Christ. You are correct. Do you understand? But then, we too, as different church centers, and I mean church families, we are also the house of God. Amen. That's why, let me say this, 85% of the time the word church was used in the Bible, it was referring to the local church, not just the universal church. 85% of the time church was used in the Bible, it was referring to the local church. I'm not just in the mood today, I would have taken you through all of them, just that. Let me spare you. Amen. Because the word church appeared 80 times in the Bible. Churches appeared 37 times in the Bible. So we'll have gone through all of them just now. But let me just leave you for now. Amen. But I can show you some. Is that okay? In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, he said, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Is this referring to the whole Christians on earth or the particular local church? Particular local church. I know what I'm saying. Are you still here? Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. So there are other places where he referred to the church. Let me show you one place, for instance, he referred to the universal and the, just trying to pick, just you got one to pick, you know. Okay, for instance, this is another local church setting. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 18. It says, first of all, when you come together in the church, is this talking about everybody on earth or particular local church? Particular local churches. I get to the point. So there are many places like that where, Galatians 1:13. Let me see. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Is this a local church or the general or the body of Christ generally? Body of Christ generally. You understand? I feel what I'm talking about. So you see, the same word is used for body of Christ and also used for local church. But there are more times that church is used to refer to a local church in particular than it is used to refer to a crowd or the whole believers on earth. Amen. In 1 Timothy 3 verse 5, he says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? This is referring to a particular local church here. Amen. I said, amen. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 16, he said, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows. He's talking about the local church. He's saying, if you have widows that are around you, don't expect the church to start taking care of those widows. Do you understand? If you are well-to-do, hand widows so they can relieve the church, so that the church can focus their welfare plan or welfare package on widows who don't have anybody that can help them. I get what I'm talking about. So what I'm trying to show you is that the word church is used more for local churches. So the church, the local churches can stand as the house of God. Let me look at what I said in my notes. The local church, not just the universal church or the global church, is referred to as the church of the living God. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14, I'm trying to lay foundation for what I actually want to say. But it's okay. Amen. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14, he said, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God. So what does it refer to as the house of God in this verse? Look at your Bible. Don't look at my face. That you may know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So what is the house of God in this verse? Church of the living God. Global church or local church? Look at that verse. Global or local? Local church. So he refers to the local church. So he's telling Timothy, if I waste time from coming, that is the way to behave when you come into the house of God. That's the way to behave when you come into the church. So the church is referred to as the house of God. What does it call the church in that verse? The pillar and ground. So when the Bible said the church is the pillar and ground of truth, is it referring to the global church or your local church? Your local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what I'm trying to show you. So you are not actually in the pillar and ground of the truth if you're a believer, you don't have a local church. Even though you are part of the global church. I get what I'm talking about. It is the local church that is referred to as the pillar and ground of the truth. Not the global church. So you cannot say, well, what church do you belong to? I don't have any church. I'm the church. I belong to the entire body of Christ. No, sir. The local church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. So this place, we can call this place we are standing the pillar and ground of the truth. We can call the place we are standing the house of God. Even though I realize that, oh, there's the general body of Christ, but the Bible refers to particular local churches as the house of God, as the pillar and ground of the truth. So I'm saying all of this to say, you must understand what the church is. Value the church, be part of a church, and maximize the church you're part of. Because the church, the local church, not just the global church, not just the general body of Christ, the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So in my note, I say the local church is the physical expression of the spiritual body of Christ in a certain geographical area. So, that is general body of Christ. But as far as this place we are is concerned, this is the body of Christ. This is the expression of the spiritual body of Christ. This church. And the church at Omahia, the church or any other denomination at wherever, that church there is the physical expression of the spiritual house that God is building. I know what I'm talking about here. That's why you read that Ephesians 1 verse 23 again. Let me read that Ephesians 1 and verse 23. We read it again. It says, which is his body, the fullness of the flesh, filleth all in all. Let's show that translation of that verse. Let's see NLT. NLT said, and the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Look at Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic said, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with himself. So how is God filling up Sixth Avenue with himself? Through the church. I'm talking about how is God filling up Nsukka with himself? Through the church. Through, now when you say through the church, is it like the spiritual church, global church, a bit the physical church we can see, the physical local church that we can see? Is it very clear to all of us? If I look at message, is very clear. Message said, the church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. So it is through the church that Jesus is filling up everywhere with his presence. Not the presence of the local church you belong to. Now, I'm saying this because I see a lot of people who claim they are new creation teachers or new creation believers who say, I don't, or maybe some woke people. See, you can worship God anywhere. God is everywhere. Even in my own room, when I go to the Sunday, I can put open a psalm on Sunday morning and I just worship God and I'm happy. No, sir, you are very, very wrong. The church, the local church, is the house of God. That place you are is not the house of God. It's not. That is your house. This is the house of God. Say amen. So all that, no, God is everywhere. Well, God is everywhere. I said it again. That statement has to be restudied and restudied again. God is actually not everywhere. God can see everywhere because he can see everything. But you can't tell me that is God inside your coven. Now, he can exert his influence on that coven. I guess what I'm talking about. He can see what people are doing because he sees everything. His eyes run to and fro the head. Go ahead. But to say that his presence is everywhere is not correct. I guess what I'm saying. To start with, we know that God lives in believers. It's a place where you cannot find believers. How can you say God is everywhere? I get what I'm saying. So you can't also say, once I'm just in my room clapping. You know, there's this thing people say, and I want to say it very clearly. I'm going to come to that. People say, well, sir, it's all about the body of Christ. So if 3-4 believers can gather in a place on a Sunday and worship, that is the church. That's not the church. And I'm going to show you very shortly. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? That thing is not true at all. To start with, I've explained to you many times, that it is not the presence of sick people that makes a place a hospital. If 30 sick people are gathered here, and there are no doctors, there are no nurses, can you call this place a hospital? What do we call it? Maybe a sick lounge. Or IDP camp. I don't know what they call it. Where people just stay. Do you understand? Now, if a doctor comes here and a nurse is here and there is no sick person here, is it a hospital? Yes. Because there are hospitals that don't even have any sick person there. But it's a hospital because there's a presence of a doctor and a nurse. So to say we just gather ourselves and worshiping God, this is not the church. Who is the pastor? Are you following me? Who is the pastor there? I have a few things to show you in this as we proceed. So this I said that taxes last time, I'm going to repeat them this year. I get the point. Who is the pastor? How is that place the church? It's not the presence of students that makes a place a school. If 30 uneducated people are gathered in one place, it's not a school. Do you understand? There has to be a teacher that can impact and transfer knowledge. So the fact that there are saints gathered in a place doesn't make the place a church. It's what I'm saying. Are you following? Yes, that's actually the truth. So we can wake up on Sunday morning, we can choose not to go to church. Now there are places where that system can work. Maybe we traveled for 3 weeks, and for the 3 weeks we don't have access to any church where we can worship. Well, can we gather and worship God and pray? Yes. You understand? But that's not a church still. So the fact that in your office you used to have midday devotion doesn't mean you don't need to belong to a church. Your office is not a church. Are you following me? It is through the church that God fills everywhere with himself. So if God wants to exert his influence, I'm coming to that very shortly. If God wants to exert his influence and fill up a particular area with himself, what will he do? He will plant a church there. He will start by somebody getting saved, then gradually bring a physical church there. That is how he can begin to exert his influence and exercise his authority in that place. See, my note, I said, the local church in a certain area is Christ's instrument in that area to execute his purposes. The local church in a certain area is Christ's instrument, is God's instrument in that particular place to execute his purpose. So the plan of God, God's instrument to execute his purpose all over Africa, are the churches in Africa. And that's why I thank God for ministries like Christ for All Nation, Red Bunky, and some of these guys that come here to do crusades, but they know the truth. That's why Red Bunky, the time Red Bunky is coming to do crusade, he comes with a material called Now That You Are Saved. You know that material? Behind that material, there is a form that you have to fill. In that form you have to fill. Now, because I worked as a counselor in Christ for All Nations meeting, what they do is they gather all pastors in that area, share those materials to them. Now, you as a pastor, there is a space for the church, the person that gets saved in that program wants to attend. After they're going to tear out that and hand the materials over the pastors, so that pastors can now start following those people up. That's their structure. Because they understand, they can come here and get people saved. But the instrument of God, the weapon of God to reach that land and there's a good purpose in that land is the church, that environment. That's why someone doing an outreach ministry who does not collaborate with the church in that environment does not understand his ministry. I get what I'm saying. You don't understand it. You don't understand your ministry. So that is church. And the church is God's weapon. Thank God for Bible schools and what they do. But any proper Bible school will still lead you back to church. Because you understand, Bibles are not the weapon of God to do whatever. Bible schools came up because there was a failure in the aspect of churches to teach the truth of God's word. Because if you are in a teaching church, and you attend the teaching church faithfully for 5 to 10 years, you go to Bible school, what they are doing there, you already know. I'm not talking about Bible school, so we might have a Bible school tomorrow. That would just be a process to produce pastors. We have, Vegeta is even looking like it's a Bible school, actually. All of those things. You get the point? But I'm saying all of those things should function. The church is God's instrument. Like, let me show you something. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? We are going to somewhere, so just follow. He said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse New Living Translation says, I was chosen, from verse 9, watch this. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Paul was talking about his ministry. See verse 10, everybody. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. Verse 11 says, this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is the weapon of God to display his manifold wisdom to everyone, even the unseen rulers, even angelic beings, even demons, to subdue the land? It is the church. Look at that verse 10. To use the church as a weapon. That's why I feel the church, even in this generation, they've not understood their assignments. We have not understood our assignments and what we represent. We are God's instruments to execute his purpose on the earth. Now, I'm saying that's why you realize no one, no singular person can claim to be God's whatever. Even if I say God accepts to do whatever, I must gather people. There must be a church. The church is God's weapon. The church is God's weapon. Is someone still here? Amen. Glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. So you look at that. There's a whole lot to see from this place. Amen. Glory to God. So it's the church that will execute that purpose upon the earth. Let me read that verse to you with the Passion Translation. It says, my passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. It was hidden for ages past until now, and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm, God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through the church. So, whatever God wants to execute on earth, even in the realm of angels, demons, satanic powers, he will do all of those things through the church. The church is his weapon. Is someone following me? So, the church of Jesus Christ is God's weapon. So, we are the house of God. So the local church in a certain place, I say it again, is Christ's instrument in that area to execute his purposes. Let me say something else. The local church in a certain place is the family of God in that place. So that is we belong to God's family, but that's a spiritual reality which you cannot see. The physical reality of that family of God you belong to when you get born again is the church he plants you into. Do you know what I'm talking about? I said that again. When you get born again, he joins you to a spiritual family. You cannot see that family. The physical reality of that particular thing that happened to you is that he now puts you in a physical church. That there are now people you can call brother. See, because if it is family, family will have brother, family will have sister, family will have father. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you following me? Why do you think Paul was referring to the members of the local churches that he planted and was overseeing? He was referring to them as my dear children. What made him claim that fatherhood over them? Is because in the church is God's family. So this church now is a representation of the bigger family of God. So we look at our pastor, we say daddy. We look at our brothers in church, we say brother, sister. So, are you what I'm talking about? Because, now, we're not saying we're the only people in the world, but this church we belong to is a representation of the bigger family of God. Amen. That's why I explained to you, for instance, the Lord is our shepherd. He is the general shepherd. But then, for everybody, he gives you a shepherd. He said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. So, the Lord is our father. But in every family, he places a father there. So the person can be a representation to you of what the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is to the entire body of Christ. Are you know what I'm talking about, friends? So that person is not to replace God to you. I get the point. The shepherd is not to replace the chief shepherd. He is still the chief shepherd. But then he will now pass information to you. train you, do whatever the teacher would have done to you through that physical shepherd he puts in charge. Are you got what I'm saying? So this is the family of God. So when people say this, like, I belong to the global family of God, that's nonsense. Because you belong to something you're not benefiting from. Normally, a family gives you warmth. Is that not true? How can the global family of God give you warmth? Family gives support. Even the natural. How can the global family of God give you support? When you are down, family lifts you up. Family gives you food, for instance. Some of you are a living witness. Family gives you food. How can the global family of God feed you? Talking about spiritual food now. I get to the point. So how can you grow? So you cannot claim to be a believer, but that you belong to the global family of God. So I belong to the family of God everywhere. Me, I don't do this local church thing. I can go to any church every Sunday. You don't have a church. You don't belong to the family of God. Yes, you belong to the global family, but you don't belong to the family of God. Do you know the implication? The privileges that God has provided in family will elude you, even though you're a Christian. Even though you're part of that global family. I get the point. I'll show some of them today. For instance, we're going to get to that very shortly. I always use the example, every time I teach on this, I use the same examples. Peter was arrested, put in prison. Who gathered to pray for him? Was it the entire, hear what I'm going to say, was it the entire people that got born again in Acts chapter 3? There were 3,000 people that got born again, right? The next chapter, there were 5,000 people that got born again. So, we know at that time, there were over, as that Acts 12, there were over 20,000 believers. So, my Bible said when he was gathered, when he was arrested, that prayer was made for him by the church. Which church is that? Wherever he belonged to. See, even though that word in the book of Acts, it's clear to us that they actually segmented themselves in different sections because all of them gathered in the house of Rhoda's mom. I get to the point. John Mark's house. Will all the 20,000 of them gather inside that house to pray? How big was the house? So people gathered. The church prayed. Bible said the church. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And they were not praying from their house. They gathered somewhere and they were praying. So the question is, if you are put in prison and you belong to the global church, who will gather? I know what I'm talking about. There are privileges provided by family in God. If you don't belong and committed, and you're committed to a local church, you will not benefit of those privileges at all. Even though God has made them available in Christ. That's why I made that statement at the beginning. And until you identify yourself with a local church, you will not get the best of what God has provided for you in his house. Because the house of God is his church. And I understand the global church. I've explained that short a few minutes ago. I'm saying the local church is the house of God. I showed it very clearly. Galatians 6 verse 10. The local church is called the household of faith. The local church. So this is God's house. This is God's house. So you see, there is a sense in which you are God's house as a person. There is a sense in which we all as believers are God's house. But then the local church is also the house of God. And in the local church, what God planned for all his people gain expression. I get what I'm saying. How can you say you belong to a family and you don't know all your brothers and sisters? You belong to a family, you don't know who your father is. You belong to a family, say, no, my father is God. Okay. You belong to your family, but then when things go wrong, nobody can come and stand for you. That's not family now. Let me explain to you. No, God just put this situation in my heart now. I'm going to use it. Even if it's not totally perfect, I will use it. Amen. So, you know, if a man and a woman give birth to a child, and when that child is one or two, that child is stolen from them and grows up. Now, hear what I'm going to say. If he doesn't know his parents, is he their child? Yes. Does he carry their DNA? Technically, is he part of their family? In a way, he's part of their family. Because,
well,
they gave birth to him. But is he actually part of the family? No. So he can be claiming, that's my father. You are correct. You are not wrong. But the privilege of family now, there will no father to pay his school fees. It's what, again, what I'm saying. He might be on the street without going to school. Whereas he belongs to a family, so that he has not identified that family. Many Christians have walked around as vagabonds on the earth. Many of them. Do they have a spiritual family that God has planted them? Yes. Psalm 68 verse 6, he settled the solitary in families. But either they have not found that family, or they refused to join that family. So all the privileges of family, they don't have it. And can they boldly say, I'm a child of God? They can. Can they boldly say, I belong to the house of God? Well, in a way, they can. But all the privileges that come with that, they can't have it. All they have to show are things like DNA, genotype. That is like the nature of God working in us. I get what I'm saying. So I'm a child of God and I'm born again. The life of God is working in me. Yes. But all the other things that family provides, spiritual growth, all those stuff, prayer support, that, they won't have it. And so when we preach on the local church, the way we preach, people think pastors are just trying to gather people in a place to be able to confuse them or manipulate them. No, that's not the point, sir. This is God's structure. Don't have a problem with that. Go contend with God. You get the point? The church is the pillar and ground of truth and not the global church. The local church. Go and read that again. I've read it for you, Abby. Read it again. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. That if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So is Paul telling Timothy for you to know how to behave yourself in the global church? No. He's talking about when you get to a particular church. When you get to your church, where you are the pastor, that is the way to behave yourself in that place. And again, to tell you, you know, I want to say this, to tell you that God recognizes, God sees all of us as one in Christ. But God recognizes different local churches. Have you read the book of Revelation, chapter 2? To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Now, that angel in that context is talking about pastor. Okay, it's the word angelos. It means messenger. So, to the pastor of the church of Ephesus, right. So, he had a different message for the church at Ephesus. He had a different message for the church in Smyrna. He had a different message for the church in Pergamos. Different messages. Because God doesn't just see all of us. He sees different. So, it can be something. If we read this in our generation, it will be John to the pastor of Winners Chapel, right. I know what I'm talking about. To the pastor of Dominion City, right. To the pastor of Platform of Grace, right. Because he sees all of us. You understand that all of us are God's family. Yes, there is one big family, but then he knows that the reality of all that family should represent is found in the different local churches. Are you guys following what I'm saying now? So I want to reemphasize again the need for the local church. We are the house of God. This is the house of God. So individually, you house God. But you won't get all the privileges of being the house of God as an individual. You won't. So people should be very careful. Well, instead of creating new creation, I hate to call that new creation, because that's not new creation. That is kindergarten Bible study or theology. Says a lot of crazy things. Say you must go to church on Sunday morning. Somebody said, and I predicted, and I was right. Not by the Spirit. Somebody said, the guy even went ahead to start what he called a church. Yeah, I'm going to come to that much later. And in that church that he started, it's not even a church. He said it's a cartoon, it's a fellowship. They meet on Sunday morning. But there is no leader. There's no pastor. We all call ourselves brother and sister. And I told my friends that this thing will not last more than 1 year. And was I right? Oh, I was even wrong because I gave it 1 year. It did not work. It is not the presence of believers in a place that makes a place a church. It is the presence of a pastor, a called man, someone that carries a calling to do that thing. That one makes a place a church. I get the point. It's not the presence of people that just gather who want to hear the word of God. And that's not to practice here. That's not to practice here. Sometimes people write to me, I've gotten things like, sir, in some place, people are following our services, so they even gather, there are 5, 6, 8, 10, 15, I say, well, they should keep following. Until there is a pastor that can be sent there, that is not qualified to be called a church yet. I know what I'm talking about. And so I say to pastors that under me, lead pastors that follow my ministry, I normally say to them, you don't start church branching because your church is gaining wide influence. You start church branching because you've been able to train hands that can handle those places. If not, let them be there. Because when there is no called man in a place, it is not recognized as a church. To tell you again that Jesus sees different local churches separately. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said John saw 7 candlesticks. And he saw Jesus walking in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. And he asked the angel, said, these 7 candlesticks, these 7 lamps, are the 7 churches that I want you to write to. So Jesus recognizes each church as a lampstand. So platform of grace before God is a lampstand. It's all what I'm talking about here. It's a lampstand. If I go for to end of this, churches should be very careful. But there was one church that Jesus threatened. That revelation said, if you continue the way you're going, I'm going to remove your candlestick from before my presence. That's serious. That's again why church should not be run anyhow. Because I kind of feel that it is possible, because what John implied there is that it is possible for you to be doing church on earth, but before God, that candlestick has been removed in his presence. In other words, before church, before God, the church is no longer existing. It's a good place to say God forbid. No, for real. But every time I read that, I say, so that can actually happen. So people can actually lose their ministry. But I'm trying to show you that why didn't John see one candlestick that represents the entire church? No. He saw different, he was about to write to 7 churches. He saw each of those churches as a candlestick, a lampstand, each of them as a lampstand. Do you get what I'm talking about here now? So if God comes to talk to churches, he sees our church as one, as a candlestick, a lamp. That's also a sign to show you that the church of Jesus Christ is the light to this world. Any place, in Nigeria should be very careful. And I'm saying this not because I'm a pastor. Sorry, the Bible. Nigeria should be very careful. If it won't even happen. But if they continue all this church castigating, the church is the light of this country. That they just don't know. This country, I mean even every aspect of this country is the church. Now, let's not even go spiritual. Ask yourself practical questions. How many schools are mission schools? Do you know there are more mission schools than there are government schools? Go and check. Some of the schools that are called government schools today were established by missionaries. Government just grew up, just came up and took those things over. So the fact that there is education, how many schools are Islamic schools? How many hospitals are Islamic hospitals? There are mission hospitals. I don't even give me that churches build schools and the members cannot attend. It's actually not true. Let me even say this to you. It is cheaper to attend Covenant University than to attend UNM. The day you're ready for the argument, we have the conversation. I say it's cheaper. If you go to UNM, you're going to pay school fees, tuition. How much do you guys pay now? It depends. Do some people pop to 70? 100 and something. Do you guys buy textbook? Calculate all the textbooks that you're going to buy within a semester. Do you understand? How many of you live in the hostel? Most of you live off camp. You pay for that. You feed yourself. You pay for light. If you go to that place, they put you in a very good hostel. That 1 million or whatever that you pay, it covers everything and even food. Even food and security. So what is all that? Churches is like, leave that argument. If you are ready for it, we'll have it. Get angry. I'm saying, in every way, the church is the light of this nation and every nation. Now, I just went to prosperity. Well, other nations can prosper without church. But I'm talking about, you know, that sometimes I've read stories. Imagine there is no church where people gather every Sunday, where they are taught, whether they are listening or not, at least that they try to restrain them. Do you understand the point? Imagine there is no such institution where people are trying to restrain, please be a good person. With all that the church is, to look at the crime on earth. Imagine there is no system. Imagine you that there is no place you come to every week and are trying to calm you down. How evil you will be by now? Say amen. Uh-huh. At least the reason why sometimes you want to do some things, you don't remember, I should not be doing this. That conscience just because you go to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you go to some, and I'm saying this because I began to work among young people very early. You see many young people that come from failed backgrounds. People that their parents failed. Sadly. Terrible characters, terrible attitudes. And where do they fall on the church eventually? We try to mend. We try to correct. I can't count how many times pastors go to the police to come bail their members who are guilty. You bail them, you bring them back, you keep teaching. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think I say they were wrongly accused, they were guilty. So after they finish telling the story, you say, no, this your member, no try. You say, okay, I beg, you just pay 10,000. Let's go. And then you start from where you stopped. You give regimen. You correct. That's why it's the church. I get what I'm saying. So if we actually want churches to shut down in a nation, it may not be fair. Now, I don't want to get into the argument of that nations that don't have churches, but are doing well. Let's not get into that. I have a reason why I say let's not get into that argument. Let's not get into that argument because if not, you are not there. When you go there, you will know. You are not there. There are two reasons why I say you are not there. You are not there to know how things. Of course, some of them are better advanced than us technologically, so they can monitor crime better. But you know what you don't realize too? Many nations you think there are no churches, there are actually many churches there. But let me tell you, the church in China is bigger than the church in Nigeria. And yet, China is not a Christian nation. God is working in many places, don't worry. There are young guys in China that they were interviewing sometime. So this guy is pastor. It's just that they won't come public. If they come public, they'll shut down those churches. They pastor churches of over 100,000 people. Small boys, 20 something years. I'm not joking. They don't have a meeting place. They can finish meeting here today and say, next week our meeting place is so place. Because they are running from the police and all of that. The white missionary went there to preach to them, to hold meetings. He said he got there. Really just gathered. He said, you know, how many hours do you want me to preach? I told him, don't stop. He preached until he was tired of preaching. He said, he noticed, once he quotes, he mentions, you know, Ephesians chapter 1, they read it from their head. So he began to ask them, what's happening? They said, almost all of us have been to prison at least once for this thing. So when we get there, we're not doing anything, we'll start memorizing the Bible. He said, the Bible is contraband here, so sometimes I'm going home, I can tear the book of Ephesians and give Pastor Mara. Otherwise, we'll tear the book of Philippians and we'll come back, we'll exchange. Do you understand the point? And the guy said, he asked them, so what will happen if they catch us holding this service? They told him, you will be deported. We will go to jail. So, you know, the funny thing, after the whole, he saw the strength of the church that they had. They didn't have money, they don't have all this to have, but they're very strong. So, he asked them, do you have any prayer point when he wanted to go? He said, yes. You know, you guys in America, you enjoy freedom of worship. Pray for us that one of these days we will become like you guys, free to worship. He told him, I'm not going to pray. He told them, I won't pray that prayer. I actually want to pray that you guys, because if you people become like us, the corruption in the church where we are coming from, you guys are actually having the real church, not we. So I'm actually going to pray that people continue like this. Because, you know, but these are nations you say, there are no churches, there are churches. God is working in many places. So don't even say what you don't know. There are churches. Amen. The local church is God's blessing.
And with all its failures and inconsistencies, it is still God's weapon. I know the church has its own bad side. Come on now. You can't even doubt that the church has bad side. Where it has somebody like you. Somebody like you are in church, so the church is not a perfect place. If it's a perfect place, somebody like you will not be here. The way that you look at yourself is a proof that the church has imperfect people. Now, I'm not saying that to insult you. Me too. Do you understand? So when we say the church is full of hypocrites, yes. That's why you are allowed. Because if you don't have hypocrites, you'll not be in the church. You didn't get that. If the church doesn't accept hypocrites, you will not be in the church. Because you too. I get the point. This is God's. There are imperfections. But it is still God's strategy. There are imperfections. But it's still God. It's just like when you look at the disciples of Jesus on earth. They were imperfect. But they were still God's, Jesus' strategy. There was no way Peter lied to a point that Jesus said, I'm done. He doesn't stop. You get the point? There's no way he would have lied to a point Jesus said, Linus, I'm not doing it again. It's still his strategy. So you must be part of God's house. And by now you know what I'm saying. When I say be part of God's house, I'm not saying be part of the global body of Christ. Be part of God's house. Belong to a local church and stay planted there. Stay planted there. Amen. Glory to God. So in my note I said, bodily parts, though you don't have to write, I just want to read something. Bodily parts do not just float around. They stay together. You get the point? And the hand does not float around. Brains don't float around. Eyes don't float. They stay together. So the local church is compared to the human body. Each believer is like a part of the body. If we use this analogy to draw some practical thoughts, one very obvious inference is that body parts do not float around. They are fixed, committed to one physical body. I know that in my note I said, yes, we do understand that in some particular situations, bodily parts can be transplanted. There are few cases like that, right? You know, there can be organ transplants. But the norm is that bodily parts stick together. So what I mean is, if your eye is part of your body, your eye cannot be part of your body today and tomorrow becomes part of Miracle's body. And after some time, your eye says, I don't like Miracle again. Imagine, now think about this. I want you to see what we do in the church. So the eye wakes up one day and maybe we are moving, we are going somewhere, then the leg hits a stone and started bleeding. So the eye says, I don't want part of a body that the leg is bleeding. No, I want to change my body. Imagine that. Or maybe someone gets amputated. And the eye says, I can't be part of any sister, anybody that doesn't have leg. So I'm changing. I want to go look at another person that is complete. That's what we roam around in church. A member is inconsistent. But also say, I can't be part of that church again. You're just roaming. The norm is that when you are part of a physical body, you get stuck there. There are few occasions where there can be changes. One of those occasions, for instance, is in the area of marriage. Are you here? But that's why you should be frivolous with those kind of things. You know, even today, this afternoon, I was on the phone with a pastor who one of the members wants to marry one of our members here. Do you understand? Because I'm saying that for a reason. The guy wants to marry one of our ladies here. So I told him I must talk to your pastor. Because you know what is about to happen? It's organ transplant we want to do. I said a frivolous thing. You want to be sure, I want to be sure that the church I'm releasing this lady to
is actually somewhere she can grow. I get what I'm saying. You want to be sure that it can grow. I said, I must speak to that pastor before I give my approval. I want to know the church. To start with, I want to be sure that that brother self is going to church. Well, people can just come up to that and say, that's my church. You know, there are people that say Love and Grace is their church. But they've not been, who told me was, he went for evangelism to preach and asked someone, do you go to church? The person said yes. Say, what's your church? Say, Platform of Grace. And the person said, do you know me? Say, no. For real. There are people that just are unserious. They just roam from place to place. Say, that's my church. Say, have you been there? I go there once in a while. So I can't give out a daughter in this house to someone that goes to somewhere once in a while. You understand the point? I want to be sure that if I'm going to, because once I release any lady from here to any church, I take my hands off. Do you understand? Because she can't be going to one church and I'm claiming to pastor her from here. So I want to be sure that wherever I'm sending her to is somewhere that she can actually grow. I get what I'm saying. So it's, if we call it organ transplant like a medicine, it's a big deal. Organ transplant is not a frivolous thing. Even if I have to go further into this analogy I'm using, before they even do organ transplants, they must make sure that the kidney, the bodies will match. There are things that don't match. If you didn't get it, leave it. There is a church that you cannot be transplanted to. You don't know. You wake up in the midnight, you want to say, thank you for who I am in Christ. Why is he saying every witch flying around, some assault and that, you can't stay there. So he dressed up and he said, why are you wearing earring? I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying it may not match. Except they're ready to compromise. Because some unnecessary fights that people have in marriage is because there was somebody was put from a church to another church where there is no... So you mustn't marry from your church. But let me say you should marry from your tribe. I get what I'm saying? At least from your tribe. So that we can understand what you are saying. Because we are one body in Christ. But we are one body. Let's just leave it at that. Everybody has what they do. And it's okay for them. Different churches are different levels of spiritual maturity. So everybody's learning. People are getting better. So, and you are not going to be a rebellious person. So if you move from here to any church that you want to go, make sure you abide by everything they do in that church. So what if it's not scriptural? Why did you go? Everything that you must abide. I'm telling the truth. So you go join the church, everything that they say we should bring broom. Bring bottle. So I can cage your enemy inside the bottle. You must abide by everything they do there. Bring bottle. Low. Don't fail to bring. You cannot come without bottle. You better disobey a person. Say amen. Uh-huh. Say today is tomato service. Yes. I told the guys, the church held pot service. Bring a clay pot. Or you come, they'll give you a clay pot. The same way they used to give okite to do jazz. So we can give you okite in the Lord. Now, if you go married to that kind of place, sir or ma, bring pot. Or if they give you pot, carry. Now, I'm saying all of this to say to you, it's not a frivolous thing. The nature, the order of God is that human body parts should stick to the part where they've been joined. Now, if there are cases where we have to move those bodies around, it has to be something handled very carefully. Now, it's a different thing that at this point, you've not found your local church. I'll come to that later, maybe tomorrow or next. If you don't find the local church, it's okay. Okay, take your time. Find. But once you find, stick. I get what I'm saying? Once you find, stick. Do you love God's word? Now, let's see this. So let me just see if I can round up quickly. So my Lord, I said, they are fixed. That is, they are committed to one physical body. Yes, we do understand that in some particular situations, bodily parts can be transplanted, but the norm is that body parts do not float around. In like manner, it is biblical to emphasize that believers need to be committed to a local body of believers, whether small or big. The church doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be small, because actually the idea of small church is something we ourselves made up for ourselves. Because in the natural, is there anything like small or big family? Or of course there is small or big family, but is a family a bad family because it is small? Because you have 30 children and I choose to have 2 kids, doesn't make me a bad make a family a bad family. Now that's not to emphasize, to downplay the place of church growth. But I'm saying, if all that God will have, the church is doing, we're doing everything they have to do, but all that God wants them to have is 15 members. And that's where God wants you to be. You're not in a bad place. I get what I'm talking about. You're not in a bad place. What makes a family good or bad is not the size of the family. I feel what I'm talking about. It's not the size. Some bigger families are even more troublesome. I'm following the point now. So, whether big or small, once it's a church where the hand of God is, where there is a calling down, all of them, I'm going to explain all of that much as we progress, not today. Once it's a church that has all of that, that is the house of God. Stay there. And let me just run you through, before I close, the benefits of being part of a local church. So that if you're not part of a local church, you can adjust. If you're part of a local church, you should know what to expect here. I'll give you 6. Number 1. Of course, spiritual growth and oversight. Spiritual growth. It is in church that growth happens. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul was talking to the elders in the church of Ephesus. And he told them to take heed unto themselves, yourselves, and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So God makes men overseers. What did he say they should do? To feed the church. So, hear what I'm going to say. God never designed that believers should feed themselves. Do you know what I say now? Please look at this verse. God never designed that you should feed yourself. God designed that there is someone that should oversee your feeding. Just like God never, it was never in the design. I mean, sheep don't look for their food. It is the shepherd that goes to look for food for the sheep. Or at least leads them to where they will find food. So I can tell you emphatically that anybody who doesn't belong to a local church is not being fed. Now, can he read his Bible by himself? He can. Can he listen to messages? He can. But again, I've explained this many times. Most times when people are not planted in a local church, they are not feeding as they should. They are not feeding as they should. Because most times when you are not in a local church, you eat what you feel like eating and not what you need to eat. For instance, what you are hearing today in church is not what some of you want to hear at this point. Maybe at this point in your life, you want to listen to relationship message because you want to marry. But in the local church, you are given what you need to eat, just like in different families. I always use as an example every time. Now, some of us who don't like beans, but you ate beans growing up with tears in your eyes, but you ate it. With pain in your heart, but you ate it. And that's why you're like this. Because if that left you, all you wanted to eat was chocolate. Growing up, imagine they let you eat chocolate for 15 years of your life. You might not get up to 15 years. And that's how many believers feed in the body of Christ. And you know the painful one now, I'm coming to that, I'm going to teach on this. The painful one now is, people don't even feed at all. You know, initially we used to say, listen to, listen to this. Now they don't listen. You know what they listen to now? Rails. People say, I follow Apostle Joshua Selman. Have listened enough of his message? Well, I watch his rails. Rails is not Facebook rails. 1 minute, 2 minutes. Attention span is reducing. People don't know how to sit and feed on God's word again. You know why? They don't have a church. Because when you have a church, you have to sit down there and listen. One told me, he doesn't go to church, he just listens to messages. I said, do you listen to a 3 hours message without doing anything? Sitting down with your pen and your book and you are writing for the entire 3 hours without standing up. He said, no. I said, that means you are not feeding nothing. fooling yourself. It's only in church that we can sit you down like this. Are you what I'm talking about? Sit down and they are feeding you. You may not like the food, but you are eating it. So, to feed the flock of God. So, the flock was never in anywhere in the Bible asked to feed itself. Go read your Bible. Not one. Not once were we asked to feed ourselves. God places men that feed us. That's why there is a local church. That's why there is a church. Because someone has to oversee your feeding. Someone has to make sure you are eating well. I get what I'm talking about. So the church sees your spiritual growth. The church oversees you, oversees your spiritual health. That's why that scripture we read yesterday, Hebrews 30 verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourself to them as they that must give account. So, the Bible said they watch for your souls. So, God placed some people to watch over your soul. So, I am a soul watcher. That's what the local church exists for. I get what I'm saying. I watch for your soul. So I can take care of myself by myself. Well, God doesn't think so. Do you know what I said? So I can take care of my spiritual for myself. God does not think so. You think so? God don't overestimate your importance. God thinks you cannot take care of yourself by yourself. If he thought we can handle ourselves by ourselves, he will not tell us to have churches. Read this with NLT. Please, let's read together, everybody. Would you look in translation? Are you ready? Lend your voice. Let's go. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul. And their what? So what is the work of a spiritual leader? To watch over your soul. So God actually thinks that you cannot watch over your soul by yourself. And you are not wiser than the wisdom of God. So you are not growing spiritually as you should if you don't have a church you belong to. How many of you has at any time in your life tried to grow spiritually just from your house on your own? Let me see your hand. Has anybody tried that? How did it go? Huh? Compare it then with now that you are in a church. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not the same thing. You can't grow. We are trying to be wise. 1 Peter 5:1, Peter says, you know, unto the elders that are among you, I write, you know, who am also an elder and the witness of the service of Christ and all of that. Verse 2, what did he tell the elders to do? Feed the flock of God. The responsibility of feeding is always given to someone else, not you. You don't feed yourself. So, in church you grow, you outgrow spiritual habits, you outgrow old habits, you outgrow old lifestyles, you outgrow old thought patterns, you outgrow old associations, you outgrow those things. So, old lifestyles. Amen. Oh, somebody has been, you know, one of our dear ones here sent me a testimony recently, and I'll just share part of it because I'll still celebrate with her. You know, yesterday or 2 days ago, made it complete 1 month that she has stayed without indulging because she had this smoking and what have you addiction, and we have been working on it. Yesterday, 1 month passed, she has not touched it. Not only has she not touched it, she said all the withdrawal symptoms have gone. Now, that kind of thing can only produce when you are in church. You can't be your house and outgrow. You can't succeed. In a mirror, you will continue. You see, they said you will continue until somebody helps you. I said, sir, I can go and see a therapist. Well, I hope when you are done seeing a therapist, you will live with the therapist. Because therapy session will end. I get what I'm saying. When you finish the therapy, leave there. Don't come back. Because after therapy has ended, yeah, you come back to your house. Every devil rears its head back again. It's a principle in scripture. Bible said when the devil has been cast out, it will come back. Everything you've worked on. Watch later in your life, it will try to get back into your space. Have you noticed it? Every habit you've broken will try to come back again later. That's why you must be part of a system where at every attempt, you are fully gathered to handle it. That's why people that say, I started to smoke. I stopped it. So 3 years after one girl broke my heart, I went back there. Because every habit Every devil that goes will always try to come back. Jesus said, when you cast out a devil, it will come back later to check on that house. And if it comes back to that house, and that house is very clean, 7 more powerful demons are coming back with it. So that's why I say, you go get a therapist. Make sure when you finish, you live with that therapist. Don't leave that house. Because if not, when the addiction returns, some of you have ever broken an addiction and the letter came back, it always comes back with a fuller force. I get what I'm talking about. So you see, that's why that is trust. So it helps you outgrow those things. So number one, I said spiritual growth and spiritual oversight. Are you getting blessed? Number two, prayer support. Prayer support. I've given this list before. I'm just going through it. Prayer support. So you're part of a church. Church offers you prayer support. An example is that Acts 12 I showed you. And verse 5. Peter was arrested. And church prayer was made without season for him by the church. Now I say this all the time. You fall sick and you have nobody to pray for you. Two things it produces. Either you die in your sickness, or you go on Facebook and say, oh, please pray for me. All of them will come to the comment section and be writing, I pray for you. You're healed in Jesus' name. You know they're not praying for you. Do we not know they're not praying for you? You know the next thing it's going to produce? You become a wanderer. You're going from prophet to prophet, apostle to apostle, prayer house to prayer house. Expose yourself to dangerous spirits. And I tell you, once you get that gullible, false prophets will feast. You will spend money. Have you ever gone to see a prophet that used to see and they tell you nothing is wrong with you? It's not possible. They will always tell you something is wrong so that you can give them money. These are things. So when Peter was arrested, he didn't call. There was no phone. Church just heard. I get what I'm saying. And they stood up and began to pray. I was telling you guys yesterday, for instance, I give an example of this day, about 2 days ago, some things I was just noticing in the church. I noticed that this is happening in this church. And God will just light with my spirit. Sometimes for 6 months, I'm interceding over certain issues in this church. Not just me. People, our ministers would say, you get into trouble, we are aware. You don't need to ask. There is a prayer support for you. There are many of you that have raised prayer support for you. Don't know. We might not tell you. Many of you. The ministers will tell you. Most of us will hold meetings and I complain about a particular person. I will say, well, you pick some other people. Stay in prayer. Don't stop until I tell you to call up. Sometimes they've been on prayer support for some people for 7-8 months. Pray for some people in this church. The person may not know. 8 months. That's why it's a church. That's why it's family. So suddenly you find out that you break through from that stuff. You say, oh, glory to God. People were praying for you. Now, if you're not part of a church, who will do that for you? The global body of Christ. On Facebook. And TikTok. Glory to God. We pay attention to your life. We'll find out, there is a wrong pattern. Your working heart is not working. Now, we will raise structures. Sometimes, pastor alone just begins to pray. Sometimes other members will even observe it and begin to pray. Because you are here. Now, if you're not in a church, how do we even know? Because I'm saying this because I'm going to make a point as I round up very soon. Many people are demanding privileges of membership from a church where they are not members. The fact that you come here once in a while, because later I'll still tell you how to be a member. You're not a member. So people just come to church once in a while, and you expect that if something happens, all of us will stand in the gap for you. No, we won't do that. To start with, we will not even know anything happened to you. How are we going to know? And so, if anybody tells you that you're wasting your time from being part of a church, you actually are getting a lot from being part of a church. So there's prayer support. Is that okay? If I thought about spiritual growth, let me say something about that growth thing before I move to the next point. Do you know it's not only spiritual growth you get from church in terms of growth? You grow all around by being part of a church. Do you understand? Why do you think when you see every, and I said this one that I was talking to the leaders, when you see any musician, they say, we started from church. Have you heard those things? We started from church. Secular musician, we started from church. Which other organization will give you freedom to use their instruments, use their stuff to learn and get better with your skill? It's church. Many people that are running photography, whatever today, started touching camera at all in churches. Are you know what I'm talking about? Many people. in churches. And some of them are making money from it. Do you know? Come up here and do a recap of what Pastor taught yesterday. I'm teaching you public speaking. Whether you know it or not. I'm teaching you public speaking. I mean, moving away from ministry entirely. Life now. I'm teaching you public speaking. Then I noticed that you can actually, if you lead a group in this church, in a church, you can add it to your CV. That you've led a group. I'm not joking at this stance. One guy was sharing a story. He went abroad. He was with all these jump hunts, whatever. And they were trying to, he came for an interview. He filled all the skills that he had. This, that. And when the training was going for the job, the trainer kept looking at him saying, well, you filled all the skill, all the experiences here. I've been going through experiences. You worked as a data analyst, this, that, and that. But that is a skill you have that you did not write how you got. He said, we say you're a very great leader. Have you ever led anything? He said, no. The guy kept asking. He said, wait. In our church, there was a time they wanted to plan a program. They placed me in charge of the guy said, that's where you got it from. He actually got the job. There are experiences, there are things. Some of them are leading in your different industries and companies. Some things are easier for you because you've done some things in church here. What did I've given you to do? Find a way around it. Eventually, when you get to your industry, it becomes easy. I feel what I'm talking about. So even if we move away from all the, and that's what I'm going to say to you, if you're not committed to a church and involving, you are missing out on a lot of trainings. A lot of things that will happen to you. Glory to God. So I said prayer support, spiritual growth all around, prayer support. Okay. Number three, fellowship. Of course, I won't talk much about that. Fellowship in a sense. It gives you a home to interact with, gives you believers, you know, to talk with, to relate with, to gist with. That's what I'm going to tell you. If you're in church, please be part of the fellowship happening here. Do not be in church and your best friends are from the beer parlor. You're not getting the best that church has to offer. One of the privileges of church is God-ordained fellowship, God-ordained relationships. It's one of the privileges of being part of a church. God-ordained relationships. I'm not talking about people that are just spiritual. People that are spiritually minded, but then they are focused in life and all of that. God-ordained relationships. Even marriage. I get what I'm saying. Even marriage. Number four, moral support. Moral support. Romans 12 verse 15 tells us, to rejoice with them that rejoice and mourn with them, weep with them that weep. That tells that in church is our responsibility as a church to show up for you when things are not working. It's the church duty. And be there for you when things are working. That's why some of you that you want to get married. Ooh, glory to God. Should I say what I want to say? You want to get married, they are planning an event. And you sideline your church. Some of you don't tell us you are getting married until 2 days before, and you complain we don't come, we will not come. If you value us, we value you. Make sure you are well positioned so that you can participate in the moral support that we have to give you. Because if we show up for you, you will know we showed up. Have you seen where we show up? Where these people, we are blessed. If we show up for you, you will know. No, some of you that have lost your loved ones here, and you follow church, whatever. Sometimes when the church shows up, the pain drops. The joy that people actually came around for you and remembered you. That supports. And I'm not talking about people that will come around and remind you of all your pains. Not that people that come to support you morally, but they make it worse. Just arrive and say, you lost your mom. You are even lucky that it's the only mom you lost. In my own time, I lost I lost father, mother, brother. I should be happy that I lost only mother. That's not encouragement. I've taught you guys that when you go to encourage someone, if you don't know what to say when someone loses someone, just sit down there. You know what I said? Sometimes that you are saying is not important. If you ever lost someone, you know what I'm saying. That's what I say is not important. They know those things. Just sit down. Sit down. If you don't know what to say, just stay small and say, it's well. I'm telling it's better than just giving advice. I say, 1982, and 30 people died. You are happy that there's only one person that died. So what should you do? It's not necessary. Just sit down there. When you are there, the church sends you. After you are done, you say, let us pray. What will you pray about? Pray that God will strengthen those people. That's what you need at that point. That's not time to begin to analyze whether it's the will of God or it's not the will of God. Yeah, it's God though. God has given, God has taken. Who asks you that question? Just pray. Because if you meet a violent man, you say God has taken, he will slap you. God has given, God has taken what? A couple has one child. And suddenly the child dies. And then you come down and say, God has taken, they will beat you. And rightfully so, they should beat you. You and your God are sent you. Both of you should get out of this house. So your God came, he saw many children on the world, he saw my own child. My only one child and two people that have 10 children, uncle. So I should rejoice. See, heaven needs him more. What's he doing there? They stop all those things you are saying. Say, earth has lost, heaven has gained. Please stop that. What did heaven get? Just sympathize with them. That's what you came there to do. You're not trying to, don't try to make the pain look like it's not existing. They're in pain. And they should be in pain at that point. You get the point? When you don't pray, they just support. That is right support. That's the right way to support. But the people that come to support you, when they go, you are thinking about your life. Say, how do you know all of this? I lost my dad now. I heard over 300 stories of death when I lost my dad. That's an exaggeration, but I'm telling you, able to come and tell their own story. One told me, he told us a story, said during the war, that he was running. He had a shot, he turned back, they shot his dad. He turned back, they shot his mom. All he was trying to tell us is that we should be happy that our father died at this age. But when I came and told us, you're even happy, what class are you in? I said, I said, son. He said, you're happy. My own, when I was in primary, two, was what I tried to tell us. Just so you get to encourage people, encourage them. Sometimes your presence is enough. Look around, there's something to do. Help and do. Something to cook. Help. If you have money, give them. Stop all those storytelling you are doing. I know you want to talk, but you mustn't. Just keep quiet and stay there and encourage them. Sympathize with them. If you are guilty of this, stop it. For real. Because sometimes you just add to people's pain. Now, that's why there is the gift of the Spirit. I talk where people, you know, actually, I don't like this thing where people die. But I actually don't know what to say. How many of you feel that way? I really don't know what to say. As in, but what God has done for me since I came to God in ministry, that is now a gift of the Spirit. God can empower you to be an encourager. So you just get there, you open your mouth, and you are saying things that when you are done, the spirit of the place will be lifted. I get the point. You move them from that pain to happiness. Not as though that happened, anything happened, but at least they are stronger. That's what you should actually trust God for when you go to visit where someone died. So say, rejoice them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. If you're having a wedding, let us know early. Pastoral process, we will show up for you and we'll show them that you have a family. We will tell them. You will know you have a family. You will know. The shout alone. You know, after our wedding, many people kept saying, in the church, I said, yes. He said, because you're the pastor. I said, well, not exactly. Even if I'm not their pastor, if you do the right thing, we will come. Now, this doesn't mean that if you're doing an event, please let me clarify this, that you should expect that the whole church will gather for you. No. We will not all gather. Because we don't all know you. Which is why you have to be part. You have to, first of all, be part of the church properly. People should actually know you. Belong to a team. For instance, from next month now, our groups will start meeting. Oh, singles are waiting behind. Wait behind. All ladies are staying. Stay. I got what I'm saying. It's not singles are waiting behind. You go. Married people are waiting behind. You go. There's meeting for ladies. You disappear. Then you put an event. We don't know who you are. Hey. God, why are you bringing this mighty stuff today? But you are getting blessed. Please note it somewhere. We will not come. And that's not because we hate you. We just don't know you. He said, but I told pastor, you don't realize, even if the church is getting bigger, even if you tell me, we can announce it in church, glory, sister, adrenaline is getting married. And we don't know who you are. All of us will rejoice, will be happy for you, but then... So, number five. I have 10 minutes, actually, so people should be, let me use it very well. So number five is accountability. You know, church offers an opportunity to be accountable. Recently, I began to see that one of the greatest blessings of a local church is that you can be accountable, so that there is someone that can hold you accountable and ask you, why are you dressed like that? And ask you, you've been coming to church for like 3 weeks without your wife. Where is your wife? You get the point? Ask you questions like, what is happening? There is need for that structure alone. You know, I was talking to my wife about this whole, we are talking about something. And accountability is a big deal. Because I'm talking about his brother and his sister going out together. This is an illustration. Brother and sister going out together. And they are close. Because it actually happened to us. Not to us. It happened to someone we know. Yes, we witnessed that kind of thing. These people were close. This particular sister, Mr. A will come and ask her out. She will say, I pray. It's not the will of God. Mr. B will come. It's not the will of God. That happened. 3 people. So the pastor she was under then, very experienced man of God, called her. I said, so this was not the will of God. She said, I said, tell me, who are you waiting for? She said, pastor, not. I said, will you say the truth? Who are you waiting for? He said, hey, it's brother James. He said, aha. Now, look at where accountability comes in. So the pastor said, you go, he said, please meet brother James. Ask brother James, what are we doing? You know it's important. You have a sick brother, you guys are talking very well. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You are telling them proposals. Call brother James, say, brother James, what are we doing? And my wife now said, but you know, somebody can ask that. A guy can take advantage of that and say, I actually love you, you know, just to play with the girl. I said, that is where accountability comes in. Because that brother in church knows that once he tells that girl, I'm serious about you, she's going to go and tell the pastor. That system alone will restrain that brother to know what to say. Because as soon as they hear, you go and tell any girl, they'll come and tell me. And if they come and tell me you've entered, if they come and tell me you're married, you're not just aware. that system makes you unable to just misbehave. So even if people are misbehaving, they'll be hiding. Don't tell pastor, because you know once the thing reach there, you're a married man. So you notice there are systems that God puts in place, and that's the local church. That you can, you know, I've seen people that make foolish decisions that waste their life. You can just wake up and quit your job. And somebody comes and says, why did you quit that job? You are at home, you're not working for the past 3 days, you're just begging for money. You can look at 1 Thessalonians. Paul said, if anybody will not walk, let him know it. But he said, if anybody among you is not walking, stop eating with him. He said, if he's a busybody, not having any job to do, stop working with him. Disconnect yourself from him. That accountability puts, it means, if a Thessalonian church, even if you want to be lazy, the structure you are sitting under will mark you. It is because people hate accountability. That's why they hate the idea of the local church. Because every serious pastor will demand that you are accountable with your life. Every serious pastor. He wants to know what you are doing. He wants to know what is happening. I'm not saying every pastor will be involved in your life asking you, have you eaten? Have you taken your bath? No. Every serious pastor wants to know. You can't just wake up tomorrow as a guy here and you pack your bag and say, I'm relocating to Australia and leave your wife here. I am not coming back for the next 15 years. We will not let you. There's a system here that will stop you. You can't just be just stupid. Are you what I'm talking about? So what happened? Say, I want to go and hustle and we send the money. We won't, don't send the money. Eat your money by yourself. So either you are not going to go, or when you go, you have plans of coming back soon to come and take that woman along with you. And if it's going to take 5 years before you come back and take her along, you must be coming back at least once in a year or two times in a year. The Bible said, even in the case of prayer and fasting, that husband and wife should not stay away from themselves too much, so that the devil will not tempt them, because the devil will win. And the temptation will work. Some things people do, ask medical practitioners, people that work, pharmacists, medical lab scientists, they tell you, most of these things you hear that a husband is in Italy, the wife is here. Most of the children that are giving birth, it's not the woman, it's not the man that has that child. Go and ask medical practitioners. You now say fear women, fear women, fear men. Why did you leave your wife and run away? Why did you run away? Are you trying to say that you, that place you are, that you are not doing anything? Both of you should be feared. Both of you are suspects. Now, a church will hold their accountable. A proper pastor will insist that you come back. Will insist. Do you understand? That you show up for your family. That you show up for them. So that accountability structure is a big blessing. Even me as a pastor, I have a pastor I'm submitted to. There are many things I can't do here. Any day I want to start doing concom service, even if the devil deceives me and I decide to do it, I can't still do it. Because somebody is going to see it online and ask and say, if I want to see this test, call me now. You are in trouble. Call me now. That is, call me by 6:30, but that is, call me now. When you say call me now, even if you are driving, you are going to park along the road. That structure is a major protection for me. And for you people that God has put under me, it's a major protection. At least you are sure that anytime you want to be mad, there is somebody that is going to ask you, what are you doing? So the structure of local church is such a blessing. People don't even see half of it. If I begin to narrate, so that I shouldn't tell people stories, but there are many people that would have ended and wasted their lives, if not that God used us to just stand on the way to say, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And the pastor was sharing with me just recently how this brother in his church, this his son, was not doing so well financially. He was struggling, trying to beat up, but he was in a relationship. And this girl was playing him bad, treating him in different crazy ways, insulting him. And pastor eventually said, the girl wants to go, let her go. And the girl left. 3 years after, the guy started doing well. The sister came back. And guess what? The brother was considering her. He took a pastoral structure and said, yeah, I don't want to see both of you together again. And thank God it's a brother that listens. You get the point? Because sometimes, you know, they say love is not blind. Love can actually be. Sometimes people can be stupid. And it takes someone that is not as stupid as you are. That is, his eyes are open to see what another says. This one will not work. And God help you that you're an obedient person. I get the point. God help you. Then final thing I'm going to say before we close today. We'll continue tomorrow. Are you getting blessed? So this is the house of God. What I'm going to say is, the anointing upon that calling and the commanded blessing will work for you when you are planted in a local church. James told them in James 5 verse 14. He said, if any of you is sick, if any is sick among you, please watch that. Is any sick among you? Among you. It's not anybody sick on the streets. Is any sick among you? That's why it's not everything a pastor must involve himself in. He said, is anybody sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. So there is an anointing that works in every God-given church. And it covers the people that are there. It covers them. Let me show you two scriptures now and we close. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. So I'll show you Psalm 92 verse 12. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 92 and verse 12. Thank God for the local church. So the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So I've explained this. This is not just talking about being planted in the global church. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Are you see here? Planted. Verse 14 says, even in old age, put it up, say, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. Amen. NLT says, verse 13, okay, verse 12 said, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Why would they be like that? For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. they flourish in the courts of our God. So that is flourishing for the man that is planted. The man that is planted. Are you still here? Psalm 133. We're going to read the entire chapter. Don't be afraid. It's just three chapters. It's just three verses. Psalm 133. It says, behold, watch this. This we'll close with this today. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He's talking about Israel, tribes of Israel dwelling together in unity. That's what he's talking about here, contextually. So you can use this for local churches that dwell together in unity. He said, how pleasant. Verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mount of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. NLT 4 verse 1 said, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing. So that is commanded blessing when brethren are dwelling together. So, commanded blessing. Are you seeing here? Glory to God. That is commanded blessing. The Lord commands a blessing there. Glory to God. How much, you know, that's why every God ordained mandate, God will anoint the man in charge. Because there are spoken blessings, there are promises over those places. So you don't always expect that you get the best from the anointing and the grace of God working upon a house when you are not part of it. You can come around and get your healing, but everything that grace carries is for people that are planted. The Bible says the Lord has commanded. You know, I love the word commanding. God has commanded. So when we stay together as a church, God has commanded a blessing upon us here. Such just because you are part of that harmony, because you are part of that oneness, that unity, God has commanded. That's why, again, I want to say, don't be in a church and you are separated. Don't be in a church and you are in disunity. Don't be in a church and you are feeling bitter, you are withdrawing yourself. Get in that harmony, for there the Lord has commanded a blessing. So whenever we gather like this, there is a grace that works here. That's why I'm going to say this to you. There are certain things I can pray over people, and you second guess it. If I speak it over you to work, I know it. Except God did not send me. And I say it emphatically, except God did not send me. Because why am I saying except God did not send me? It will not make any sense. If I send Jeremiah as a shepherd to go take care of about 100 sheep, and I will not give him enough food, enough water, that they will take the sheep we need. If God is sending me to take care of you, then he has to provide what I have to give you. So that's why the spiritual growth you need, he has to give it to me. At least give me the message to preach to you. If you are going to be sick, he has to provide whatever it is that you need. Here. That's why I want to say to you, majority of the blessings that God will bring upon your life will come from your local church. Forget all this running around looking for a man of God that is anointed and has two horns to pray for you. Majority of the anointing, the things that God will work out in your life will come from where God has planted you. That's where God has commanded a blessing. Now think of the man who has no church. And I say it all the time in this place. There are people that once I see them here, I know their life has gone bad. So they only come here when their life goes bad. They come. After time you see them, meet Shivike. I want to see pastor. Every time. Oh, the last time one of them came by, I said, let me say something to you. Your life, you are not getting the best of whatever. You are not around. He says, I know business deal. I said, those business deals, those movements, they don't come whenever you have problem. It's when your needs are met that you have all those business deals. And I asked him emphatically, who do you think you are busier than? He has not come back again since then. I said, who do you think you are more busy than? So you think everybody in this place, we are all very jobless. And I told him to his face, I said, I have an idea of my people's finances. You're not even as rich. If we rate wealthy people in this church, you are not in the first 150. I told him. So don't think it's by just roaming around and carrying yourself. You think we are afraid of you. Stay planted. That's how all these things you are doing can work for you. I get what I'm saying. That's how it can work for you. That's how it can work for you. I don't know some of you that are here. Life was traveling in a certain direction, and you came into church. I've seen God. God is powerful. People, some people even drop messages on my DM or my mail. So this is, before I even remember to open it, they've sent the testimony. I'm not joking. So this is happening. They said my job, Before, sometimes I open it, by the time I'm opening it, I'm opening both the prayer request and the testimony. Talk about the anointing of God. And it has to work because there is a grace, there is a commanded blessing upon this house. That's why every wise pastor that is invited as a guest minister knows what to do. I was saying this during LMP. I went to minister for one of my sons, you know, last year. Just finished ministering for him. Came back. By the time I came back, well, the meeting was actually quite a meeting. It was really very powerful. People gathered. They had over 1,000 persons, even not up to 2,000 people, packed out everywhere. And you know, minister, power of God, deafness disappeared. So by the time I left, normally when that kind of meeting happens, you know, someone came there with insanity. That was mad. It was a full miracle meeting. Normally when that kind of meeting happens, members, before I came back, my DM was boiling. Facebook. Yes, DM, they call it messenger. Sir, you are in our church. Thank you for blessing us. I wanted to pray for my left ear. I wanted to pray for my left leg. I want my visit. I say, people don't even know who you. What they don't realize is, I had the permission to flow in that stuff I flowed in that place because their pastor gave me that stage. If I begin to minister to them beyond the permission their pastor gave me, I've stepped out of God's order. I get what I'm saying? So I just told them, I was just say, go and talk to your pastor about one of them, you know, beautiful, great sister. I've not met her, but I know she's great. She's a blessed person because she obeyed me. She followed me everywhere. If I write a post, you come to that post and comment. Sir, I sent a message on your DM. You have not replied me. I sent everywhere. Because she really wanted to get my attention. She wanted to pray for her. And one of the comments she posted, sir, is seed. I want to sow into your life because I wanted to pray for me over something. My mother said, this girl thinks if she mentions seed. So she kept doing that. I just came to her. She's a great sister. I said, take that seed. Go. I don't even know what the case is till now. Go and meet your pastor. Sow it into his life. Share the problem with him. It will be solved. Less than 1 week after that, she came back. She said, sir, as you said. Now, it wasn't my anointing. I just had to show her that what you're looking for is not with Pastor Henry. It's with your pastor. It's not some of you, you know, I'm the pastor's spiritual father. So because your pastor's spiritual father, anytime my pastor comes around here, he said, so this is where dad used to collect from. So let me go to him direct. You will not get anything. And it's not even my pastor, dude. He will show you who he is. The DM will not even be replied at all. So don't bother about that. And if you follow him around like that, let me not say anything that will happen. It may be me that will receive the rebuke. Call that guy to order. Because that's a disorderly thing to do. When God plants you in a place, that is what we call the commanded blessing. Now, sir, you say you cannot go to other meetings. You can actually. We hold meetings and we invite church people to come here. But they just come and get blessed. And they return back to their churches. If they now want to join our church, it's now a different case. So that's why, you see, personally, because of this verse, this commanded blessing verse, I know my boundaries in pastoring people. I know my boundaries in giving, let me use this word, prophetic instructions. There are prophetic instructions that a pastor cannot give to someone else's member. There are instructions you cannot give. Because I say it again, you don't even know that person. You don't even know his progress. You don't even know whether he can do that. You meet someone in a meeting, I look at the person and I say, "Thus says the Lord, go and fast for 14 days. A sister, you don't know whether she has ever fasted from 6 to 11 in her life. I get the point. It's a fast for 14 days, 6 to 6. One, she will not do it. If she attempts to do it, she will faint. It's not, it's a wound God sustain her, God will not. She will collapse. And guess who we create that problem for? The pastor, they will call pastor. Sister Denali has fainted. Where did this even come from? You know why I'm using adrenaline? You know what adrenaline is? That's people that are just very hyperactive. They say, "Oh, she'll fast." Right away. With that, she will faint. But the apostle that knows that this one can handle this. This one cannot handle this. Do you understand the point? That prophetic instruction I've given some of you here that I can't even share outside. Some dangerous, some things that after I tell you, I'll be asking myself, where did this come from? But I can give it to you because of where I stand and where I'm speaking from. This is the house of God. And the Bible said, here God has commanded the blessing. So there is a commanded blessing in this place. Do you understand? No, my pastor told us something in the last week we went to. And we shared that thing and I began to think about it. Have you seen some of these members, some of these women and men who have been part of a particular church for over 30, 40 years? If they share some testimonies coming from that local pastor, that pastor that nobody knows. That's why when you want to get married or when you change church, they don't understand. They think you don't have sense. Because they've been here for very long. They've seen things. I don't get the point. They've seen results. That pastor you think is not anointed or whatever, God has used that pastor to work out many things for them. Many things. Many things. Find the story of a man lost many years ago, lost the child. And they called the pastor. The pastor came, lifted up that small child. Child came back to life. He's a popular pastor. Now, 30 years after, the child says, "I want to change church." They will never understand why you want to change church. Like, are you mad? We've seen things here. So you see some of those older cases that are established, that this man of God gathered 30,000 Christ, it's not their business. You see that place where they are? They know that whatever they need is here. Let me say this to you. He says, "Sir, what if my pastor is not fully mature to handle?" God factored in even the spiritual growth of your pastor before he planted you there. That's what I said. What it means is that anything your pastor does not know now, you don't need now. Are you following what I'm saying? He factored in because God is not stupid. He's wise. If he knows that in 3 years' time you are going to have need of this, and he gave you that shepherd, he has to prep up that shepherd. That's why there are pastors that flow in some certain anointings at one time in their life that they are not naturally graced for. Do you know why? A member had that need and God had to come through. I get what I'm saying. I mean, a pastor has never cast out devils in his life, but then a member just goes insane. He shows up there, that grace will drop. He has to handle that issue because that God cannot send you without equipping you for the assignment. That is commanded blessing. Stay in your house or stay in the house of God where God has planted you. And to close, I want to say, get the best from where you are planted. Get the best. There are meetings be around. You have a problem, share it. Sometimes all these are breaking your head for one simple prayer can solve it. Sometimes even chats is enough. And it changes things. There is nobody, and I say it under heaven, that has worshipped with yourself for at least 3 months, that will not testify of at least one miracle that has happened to your life by joining this church. Nobody is like that. Nobody. It's not possible. You understand? And it's not, it's because you're anointed, not just this church. Any church where God plants you. Because we are not the only good church in Nigeria. We are not even the only good church in Enugu State. In fact, we're not even the only good church on this road. God has many good churches. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, wherever he plants you, he drops what you need in that place. Are you blessed? Stand your feet. Let's just give Jesus praise. I don't know if this song you're playing. Our God is an awesome
God is an awesome God.
Sing it one more time.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns on heaven above in peace. Storm power, Lord, our God is an awesome.
Sing it one more time. Our God, our God. Let me hear you sing it two times. For the last time,
our God, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with me. Strong power, Lord, our God.
For the last time now, let me hear you sing it.
Our God, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with me. Strong power, Lord, our God is an awesome God.
Are you blessed today? Take 1 minute. Thank God for the blessing of the local church. Just do that. Thank God for the blessing. For the blessing of the local church. Thank you for the blessing of the local church. Woo!
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.